Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. Although, at this point, what we should just call this show Guth and Hupke on whatever the shit is going on today. Because we just are riffing on the things. We're not going on deep political theory here. There's many smart people right here in this fine city doing that thing. And we follow them on Twitter and we retweet them and we like their tweets and such. But we're here to riff is
yes.
What we're here to do. And
it's like jazz.
We're the jazz combo of
political jazz.
Political commentary. It's good. It's going to be great on our headstones.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we have been off for a couple of weeks because of things, including Yom Kippur and something else happened. I don't remember. It's all on me. Like both times it was me going, I can't do it. I'm too busy. I'm too busy atoning. Whatever.
I hope the atoning was good.
Yeah, you know what? I go through an emotional process every year for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah because it's very hard to explain stuff to the non-Jewish world. Like, you know what I mean?
Is that like Christmas?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Is that your Christmas?
Like, because Hanukkah is attached to Christmas time, people assume that's the biggie. But
right.
It's like, no, I really do need to just kind of be off radar today.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
In the same way that I don't, you know, want to go hang out with your people on Easter
mm-hmm.
because you're busy doing that with your people. You know what I'm saying? So it was like hard to, I think in a business setting, it's always hard because you don't want to have people like all up in your business and be like, hello, I'm observing Yom Kippur. And they're all like, Jew! Which sometimes is a thing people do. And they're like, oh, how interesting. I didn't realize, which is always a tell. If people go, I didn't realize, they either mean I too am Jewish and that's their next sentence or they go,
Well, I honestly did not know the exact.
I coached you. I helped you.
I knew Yom Kippur was a big deal. I didn't know the exact parameters. So last week I did clarify, like, so we're definitely not recording, right?
And that's right.
Yeah. So apologies if that was insensitive in any way.
Sure was.
Okay.
And I've turned your name over to the appropriate secret meeting.
Excellent.
I will receive my check and make some decisions about controlling the film industry as well as the media.
Excellent.
Which is my favorite because every time someone has ever accused any of me and my friends that are Jewish of any such thing, I'm like, would you like to see my WGN W-2? Because if I was controlling shit, I'd be doing better than
doing
this.
Doing a terrible job of it.
Right. Yes. I'm the terriblest controller in the world, if that's the case. So there's that. Anyway, so I feel like sometimes some like awkwardness can lead to missteps around the high holidays, but also it can lead to some really blatant anti-Semitism, which is always a fun time for everybody involved, which is the thing that occurred. And there was a dude on State Street, just out in the world, right after Rosh Hashanah, just letting everybody know that we're coming for America.
We're coming?
We, the Jews.
Oh.
We're coming for America. And then,
he was letting everybody else know
Yeah,
that.
He was letting everybody.
He's not part of the we.
No. And if ever he was, we are kicking him out. And he was just letting everybody know that. You know, we've infiltrated, and I hate to tell him, but, you know, my direct family has been here for a couple of generations now, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like I showed up yesterday.
Right. There wasn't a recent wave of
Jews running in here.
Racing over the border.
But, yeah, he had, like, really invested in some nice printed materials, and he was, like, letting people know that. You know, that we're infiltrating the United States. And I was like...
This was outside the synagogue?
No, this was just like
was
a
just
dude
random?
The day after. I was like walking to a meeting and walking down State Street. And this... Security is very high at the high holidays.
Uh-huh.
And some synagogues even have like metal detectors because of exactly that kind of bullshit that
right.
people try to do terrible things. No, this is just a guy the day after Rosh Hashanah.
Oh,
just
okay.
like, they call it a new year. They don't even acknowledge our calendars. Here's the thing, white supremacist. And then I literally, with my own eyeballs, the day before, 2 days before Yom Kippur, I was walking through Wicker Park and I saw these guys taping some crap up on a phone pole, and they just look like late 90s wannabe goth guys in the pop punk era. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys have Blink 182 CDs in their car.
Yeah, sure.
But probably also like Slipknot and Linkin Park. That's their jam.
Right.
Okay. Word. And I saw those dudes and they were taping some stuff up. And then as I'm walking, I look to see what local music act have they just posted about. Oh no, it was a white supremacy poster.
Wow.
Right there.
Just out doing it.
Right there in front of the Big Star Taco Bar. Like right there. Right there.
A lot of folks like that feeling empowered these days.
I mean, there have been other times in the history in which they have also felt very empowered, but, you know, real brazen.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it really is, yeah.
Like, people walking by, like, some woman walked by, like, they made eye contact, and she greeted them or something. They nodded at each other, saying she did not appear to be an Aryan sister, you know?
Can't tell. They're very sneaky.
She was definitely not a white woman.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say she's probably...
That's the first trick they try to pull.
Right. So there's that. But anyway, that kind of bullshit has been on my mind.
Yeah, I can understand.
I was like, oh, look at the neo-Nazis frolicking through the neighborhood. That's fun.
Right here in good old liberal Chicago, no less. Anyway. My goodness.
So anyway, but we did not... I go on that tangent only to say we've been off for a couple weeks. I'm sure the 9 people have missed us terribly.
Seriously.
I can't see any of them have been tweeting about us.
Although, I got to tell you, there was after our last show, there was yet another one or two sort of totally random tweets from people that I've never, that I don't know or, you know, who talking about the podcast. So
death threats?
No, actually, they were not. But I do think that, I think we're reaching more hearts than we realize.
That's nice.
I'm going to keep telling myself that.
We should, that's a good quote to post here in the podcast closet.
Yes. Guth and Hupke, touching hearts.
But not in a...
Cutting farts and touching hearts.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Sorry.
I was going to go a different direction with that. I was going to say, but only with consent.
Right, yes, exactly.
Because consent is a big thing a lot of people are discussing right
that's
now.
That's a nice segue right there. Holy cow.
I saw it. I took it.
Wow. You didn't ask permission.
I just
took it.
Which is another theme
exactly.
of going on right now. So... where do we start with Kavanaugh?
Welcome to hell. Yeah.
What a piece of trash.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that doesn't even do it justice. Here's the thing: to be on the Supreme Court of the United States, you need to be able to demonstrate that you have some integrity and that you would, really just have that integrity. You need to have some character. I mean, character and fitness is part of passing the bar, for crying out loud. So, you know, Supreme Court, you need to be of sound and fair and credible character, no matter what your political situation is. But I think that we have really clearly shown that this is not someone with integrity. This is someone who is a backpedaling piece of garbage.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing has been kind of interesting. Obviously, I've been opposed to him on ideological grounds from the get-go, which is to be expected when there's a Republican president trying to put somebody on the court. And then when Dr. Ford's accusation first came out, when it was made public and she was identified, I thought, okay, yikes, you know, this is serious. This needs to be treated seriously. However, I still... writing column standpoint, I stayed away from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. First of all, because I wanted more information to come out.
Right.
Not because I didn't believe Dr. Ford.
Right.
But simply...
But an accusation is not a verdict.
Right. Right, exactly. Right. And that's one thing that I think has gotten really dramatically lost in all of this, is that everybody's talking about the presumption of innocence being destroyed and yada, 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 and all this stuff. But to me... This could have been handled so easily. Let's presume that Kavanaugh is innocent. All they had to do was say, "Yeah, okay, look, I want an FBI investigation into this.
Absolutely,
I want my friend Mark Judge, who she claims was a witness under oath and testifying. You know, the whole nine yards. And that was the point to me where it all pivoted and where I felt comfortable writing and saying." This doesn't smell right, because why is the accuser the one asking for an FBI investigation, which carries with it, you know, prison time if you're found to be lying to the FBI? And the person who's trying to clear his name is not doing that and seems, in fact, to be doing everything possible to avoid that, along with the complicit Republicans who are desperately trying to slide him onto the court. So, again, I still don't know if he – I have no idea. I have not said I think he's guilty. But at this point, I think – and what I did say in one of the columns I wrote was that right now the person who seems the most to be telling the truth – and the most willing to get to the truth is the accuser.
And the most willing to be transparent and say, yes, let's talk about this.
Right, right. Now, you know, I hear the concerns about accusations and how that can damage people and this, that, and the other thing. But again, just the thing that I think has just gotten trampled is like the idea of if you just did the right thing from the beginning, which was
if you have nothing to hide, you say, well, I absolutely didn't do that. I'm willing to cooperate with the FBI and let's prove that I did not and let's prove it out.
Exactly.
And that's what you do if you didn't do anything with anything.
Yeah.
Anything. Like, yes, let's look at the, dash cam footage and you will show that I did not run that red light. Like with anything, you just say, yes, let's throw it to the court of public opinion and show it, let the facts speak for themselves, which is not what is occurring. Yes, I mean, anytime there is an accusation of any sort of sexual nature, we immediately go to this conversation about believing people, and we go to which I think it is very important to do, and we talk about a presumption of innocence, and look, the facts are the only people in that room know exactly what happened. But even then, that can be two different stories. If someone is extremely entitled and feels that they have access, unfettered access to women's bodies, he may legitimately not believe that he assaulted her when in fact he did. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, I'm willing to say that kind of thing happens, that it maybe isn't always like a, you know, violent grab a woman and drag her into an alley.
Right.
Which is not to say I don't believe her. In this particular instance, I do, because of her behavior now, in that she's like, let's do this. And he is, in fact, doing the opposite. So, but we've talked about this before. The problem, like the thing that always happens then is that the burden of proof is so much on the woman. Anytime it's about a sexual nature, so much of the burden of proof is on the woman. And in such an unfair way, in such a terrible way, in that We often do not recognize, you know, especially like people talking about this is going to ruin his reputation. I don't think people realize what happens to the reputation of people who come forward with accusations, even if you drop charges or don't go through with it, or even if you just tell a few people and don't file charges. Like, that's still really, like, you know, this quote goes around on like it's social media every so often. It's like, really, women were trying to get famous by accusing Cosby. So what are their names? Oh, that's right. None of us can name any of them.
Exactly.
Right. So to me, it is always so fascinating the way in which we talk about accusations of sexual assault. It is so interesting because it's such a big tell into like the psyche of the patriarchy to me, in the way that it's like, this could, you know, tarnish his little Brock Turner reputation, or this could cost him. Like, this has probably cost her whole life. Mm-hmm. She's made decisions, you know, and we never talk about what it costs women. We just assume that, like, women, if they are telling the truth, that there wasn't a cost, that, like, maybe she was sad a minute. Like, we never think about what the cost is to women. We never talk about that. We always talk about, like, this is really, you know, taking a toll. Even when, you know, it is the norm when even in like a company setting to say, like, talk about sexual harassment kind of stuff. Almost across the board, women I have talked to, and even years ago myself, I brought an issue to an HR department once and said, hey, you know, this person I'm working with is really acting inappropriately, not to me per se, but saying inappropriate things in my presence and the presence of other women. And I think they're a little concerned about coming forward. So I'm going to. And the first thing was like, you know, he's got a family and he, you know, what you're saying is really serious. And I was like, are you sitting here with this cliche for real? Mm. So I don't know. Lots of stuff comes up with that. I think the why I didn't report hashtag was an interesting day to watch on social media. I think, well, there was a lot of women that did not participate in it. I was in touch with many of them, like back channel conversations and text messages and even just like Twitter DMs of people saying, I don't want to say anything for the very reason I did not report anything.
Yeah.
And it become like, you know, one person in particular, no speculation involved, like not in the city of Chicago, in another city, in a different profession, but was like still kind of a public job. And she was like, you know what? I would love to participate. I would love to say why I did not, but it is literally the same reason why I do not want to send this tweet, is because the ramifications that would happen is that everybody would just want to talk about it. And there's so much more to me than that. And I've, you know, she said, I put it behind me as much as I can, but I also, I don't want to talk about my body to strangers and what happened to it and violence committed against it. And I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
and more than anything, I know that will be a narrative out there about me forever, because you can't put that genie back in the bottle once it's out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I had a lot of feelings that day. That was one of them, that like, if you want to participate, go for it. And that so many women felt like they couldn't for the same reasons they did not report something. The second part of that is, I think it really fucking sucks that we seem to believe that we have to perform our pain to get, you know, safety and respect. And, you know, we saw it happen when Me Too first started and women were sharing all these stories. Suddenly men were going like, holy shit, I had no idea. And that was kind of cool, but sucked that we had to do it.
Right.
But still, it was kind of cool that men were going, I had no fucking idea. I got, you know, all these sisters and a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, and I still had no idea until I started specifically hearing all these stories. Sorry that it took that, but at least it did. I just think at this point, it doesn't do any good. Like, I didn't really hear men reacting the same way to why I didn't report than that they did to Me Too.
That's true. I don't think it was as loud and, not loud isn't the right word. It wasn't as, like, pervasive. Like, I mean, the Me Too one was just massive and went on and on and on. That was off of a Trump's comment, I think, and it lasted a day. And right. But I mean, I thought it was pretty powerful, and you saw a few columns that, you know, sort of where people wrote about that and highlighted it, but it didn't get nearly the coverage that it did. So that might have been a factor in it also. But I don't know.
But it could
have
also been.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. 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 But. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not trying to downplay it. I thought it was very powerful, but I
it wasn't
didn't.
Like the conversation that Me Too was.
Well, it may be because it's part of the, I mean, in a way, yeah. It's part of the Me
it
Too.
Is.
You know what I mean? It's a
subcategory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess right. It is. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing is, you don't, I mean, I don't recall hearing a lot of Republicans when Harvey Weinstein's allegations were coming out, screaming about how, well, now anybody that gets accused of something is, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, that's the sort of like power fear you're hearing so much. I mean, they're basically saying, well, who will ever even try for a Supreme Court seat now if this goes? But I didn't hear that when it was Franken or Al Franken or, you know, Harvey Weinstein or any. So,
do you know why?
Because they were happy about it. The concern.
Also.
Yeah.
Also, let's look at some last names.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
They are my people.
Yeah. I don't
therefore,
see.
That's right.
I don't.
You don't see Jews.
I don't see. No, I don't see faith. I don't see whatever.
I don't see peoplehood.
Yes. I'm so woke that it didn't even register
yes,
with
Hubby,
me.
Yes, Hubby, you're very woke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, too.
I know.
And also, I mean, you know, what if, not for nothing, this is kind of an aside, but if it was men coming forward and saying that he had sexually assaulted them in high school, I think we would be having an entirely different set of reactions from people.
Well, of course we would.
Yeah.
Of course we would.
But
at this point, I feel like the, I don't know, I keep saying, like, here it comes. The patriarchy's wobbling. It's going. But it keeps sinking lower, in fact.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, the whole way through here, I still don't know what's going to happen, truthfully. I mean,
I don't either. I kind of think nothing. I think we just have to ignore it and keep building positive systems. I think we just can't even feed into it.
But do you think he's going to get confirmed?
I would be shocked if he wasn't.
Yeah, that's kind of the
Although way. The second accuser is interesting at this point.
Like, well, now there's a third, too, I mean, with Avenatti.
Right. Like, as the accusation... I'm going to try to say that again. As the accusations... Say that three times.
Or as Trump tweeted, acquisitions. Did you see that?
Yes.
The tweet were false acquisitions. I have been falsely acquired.
Right. So as more accusations are coming in, I suppose the possibility sinks down lower. But I don't know. I just think as long as there's a sense of entitlement to women's bodies to regulate them and talk about them separate from a human being and feel superior to them, they're going to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Yeah. So I don't really... I you know, at this point, I'm like, okay, I've already played it out in my head of what it looks like when he sits his ass down and starts taking apart Roe v. Wade. Great.
Well, and, you know, another thing at this point, and this is I'm sort of thinking in a whole different direction with this, and it probably isn't fair to anybody, I suppose, but...
By all means, let's do
but
that.
But why not? Yeah.
Why not? Let's go.
I really set that up nicely,
yeah,
didn't I?
Nice. Way to sell it, Hupke.
Right. But, I mean, at this point, like, he gets confirmed... I mean, how pissed off do you think this guy is? And say, look, guilty or innocent, whatever he happens to be, he's going to be a spiteful ass after this, you know? And how does that affect him as a judge? Like, how do you... So, I mean, it seems...
The part of that
seems unfair is like, well, but if he is innocent, you're basically saying just because these accusations came up, then he shouldn't get on the...
Then he couldn't...
Because he would be grumpy about it or something. Yeah. But I do wonder about that, though. I mean, that seems like that's...
Reasonable.
You know, it seems like this sort of thing, guilty or innocent, is going to magnify any negativity he might have towards these issues, you know, and towards women in general. I mean, so, you know, that to me is concerning in and of itself.
That's an interesting point. I don't know.
I mean, there's no way to tease that out, but it's something that I kept thinking about, though. Like, boy, if he even does get through, like, it seems like he's going to become a Supreme Court incel or something like that. You know,
that's what the Supreme Court needs.
Yeah, exactly.
We really could use a few more incels around here.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think he probably will. They'll figure it out and he'll get through, I'm sure, because I just don't have... I have no faith in that system at this moment in my life.
The one thing that stands to bollocks it all up, beyond further accusations...
Beyond
or
being more
stuff.
Potentially a sexual predator.
Right,
sure.
Yeah, right. No, but...
I mean, that didn't stop the president.
Yeah,
so.
That's a good point. But the president, however, today, I believe at 5 o'clock today or something, he's doing a press conference, which is the first one he's done in, like, you know, basically since he became president.
A while, yeah.
Yeah, and he clearly... is starting to go off the rails about this stuff. In fact, the statement that they put out from Kavanaugh after the latest accuser was identified by Michael Avenatti said, this is like the Twilight Zone. You know, I don't even know who this is. Anyway, the statement that they put out in Kavanaugh's words, it was clearly in Trump's words. Like, Kavanaugh's not making a Twilight Zone reference. I mean, it was
no.
a very, like, Trumpian-sounding kind of thing. And somebody even flagged part of one of, like, Trump's books where he references the Twilight Zone. And so I think he feels like he needs to swoop in and save the day, and that is a recipe for absolute abject disaster. So I feel like this is going to go from gross to perversely gross in a matter of hours here once he
but then
starts
what?
Going.
So then what? Let's say he does something completely batshit. Then what happens?
Well, I think that there are... Remember, it only takes two Republicans.
To tango, I know.
Right. Yes, exactly. Two Republicans to end this.
That's right.
So I think that if he goes off the rails enough, it's going to become just so completely untenable for Murkowski and Susan Collins, first of all.
But we've been saying that for a while.
I know. Yeah. But my point is, like, and as it stands right now, I have zero faith that they'll stop it.
I don't either.
But if he comes out and just lays a giant... turd in the lawn, which is entirely possible, then I could see it being just like, okay, no, we got to scrap this now because this just ain't happening. So I don't know. We'll see. I've never seen a situation that he cannot take and somehow make worse.
That's true.
Including, actually, and if we, this is a tangent, but when he spoke to the UN General Assembly yesterday.
Oh, Jesus.
And he starts off talking about how his administration has done more in 2 years than any administration. And they laughed at him.
They laughed.
And then afterwards, he tried to say, his comment as they laughed was, I didn't expect that response. And then afterwards, he said that that was a joke and he meant it as a joke, which A, is obviously false because of what he said during the speech.
Like, but you just gaslighted your own gaslighting.
Right, right.
Is but, what you just did.
Exactly. Because B, if it, you meant it as a joke, then you're joking about it being the most successful in 2 years. Like,
right.
So it's just so... it's amazing his ability to magnify a problem and just, you know, make it so much worse.
Yeah, that's right. we should have had a Google Doc running of all the topics because I also realized, Hupke, that... In our little break on the podcast, we have since we last recorded the entire, I don't even want to discuss it almost because it's so horrifying because I think of pictures, but the Yeti pube and mushroom situation was also part of that. And usually there's a something, you know, in this administration, something weird happens and something, strange word starts to trend on Twitter and people start looking at it. And then they go, oh, I'm sorry that I looked up what this is about. But I have never seen so many people tweet that very tweet as that day in which so many people were like, I really regret searching why Yeti pubes or Yetis
or toad. Toad from Mario Kart.
Right. So many people are like, Jesus Christ. We miss so much. I'll never take a break again. But that happens because when you went on vacation, like all kind of bullshit happens. So
it is. It's the way it works.
The cosmos are.
Yeah.
The more we do the podcast, the boringer things will get. So this should be daily.
Maybe we should start. Right, I was just going to say it because things are sure as hell not boring enough. So we maybe a daily dose would knock it down to reasonable.
Something about us being here in the podcast closet makes things
pulls
calmer.
The universe back together somehow.
Yeah.
Kind of a symmetry.
I'm here for that.
the thing I love about somebody, this wasn't my original thinking. Somebody pointed this out on Twitter, but the thing about Stormy Daniels and that whole description of Trump's junk was what's great about it is that he is so used to sort of like sexually degrading women, mm-hmm. you know, all his life, whether it's, you know, walking into the beauty pageant dressing rooms and saying stuff on Howard Stern or whatever, talking about Ivanka's breasts or you name it. But now it's being done to him by a woman who he cannot beat. I mean, because she does not, she gives zero fucks. I mean, like, there is nothing he can say that is going to hurt or stop or, you know, do anything to her because she's just like, yeah, I'm going to say it like it is. I'll describe your stupid penis. I don't care.
That's right.
You know, and she's like, yeah, I have sex on camera, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, she's very, which well, is great. I mean, and as it should be. I mean,
there,
that's her job.
So power in, I mean, this is something that we, you know, think about in opinion writing and in like as I in the last few years did a lot of media training and helping very smart academic people share that smartness in a way that the rest of us can understand. That's a thing we talk about often is that you have so much power if you name the obvious argument against you and own it. Suddenly it takes the wind out of the sails of the other person. It goes beyond just not giving a fuck. It makes you like unassailable. It's like, yeah, I did this. I did this on camera. I'd do it again. I enjoyed it. Like, whatever.
Right.
And then suddenly no one can be like, yeah, but you have sex or whatever. And you're like, I already said I did.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. What's up? Like,
yeah.
And I wish more people took that on in a moment of scandal and just were like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Next.
Right.
Because then it ceases to be a scandal.
Exactly.
It goes away right away.
Yeah. And even when you screwed up and you
just
take,
own it.
Yeah. I did that.
You screwed up?
Yeah. There's been a couple, believe it or not, a couple times on Twitter where I've overstepped and offended somebody or some people or whatever. Here's an example, which is, in retrospect, I'm embarrassed about. I was being a 12-year-old boy. But there was a thing that came out about, you know, John Hamm, the actor from Mad Men. Something came out about him wanting to be the next Batman.
Okay.
John Hamm, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's all kinds of pictures of him walking around without underwear on.
No, I didn't know that.
This was a big, and it was a big, like, it was like a meme for a while on Twitter and stuff, because he's got a, he has a big penis.
I did not know that.
He does. There's visual evidence. And so I joked.
Wait, why was he photographed naked?
It wasn't naked. No, no, no. He's walking around in Hollywood, but he's not wearing underwear, and he's wearing like these kind of loose, like, pants.
Oh, so you can,
see the outline of his partner. And so so I said, I made a joke about how his he wants to be Batman and his penis can play Robin, which was intended more as a kind of a comic book nerd. It was more intended as like a joke about how stupid the character Robin is, but obviously that didn't come across at all. Anyway, so I made that joke. And somebody, apparently it turns out, I did not know this, but John Hamm is very sensitive about that and got really upset with all those photos and was really annoyed. And so somebody who must be a big John Hamm fan tweeted, Chicago Tribune's humor columnist, you know, thinks this is funny. I think he should apologize to John Hamm. And they tagged the Tribune on the tweet and stuff, which,
okay,
you know, tweet ratting out is another story.
Yeah.
We can save that. Yeah, we could have for another time. But nonetheless, I immediately was like, okay, A, that was a dumb, immature joke that I made. I'm not 12 anymore. B, okay, I get it. That was dumb. I mean, I didn't know this, but I feel bad, and I can understand. So I first, you know, tweeted out, you're right. I wasn't aware of this. That was a bad joke. I'm going to take it down. You know, I always, like, tweet the apology first before you take it down, just so the people understand, and then, you know, deleted it. And that person responded and said, thank you. That was a really cool, you know, really nice of you to do that. I appreciate it. And I'm like, hey, I'm willing to admit when I overstep, whatever.
Yeah.
Boom. All done. So
done.
Problem over. And, you know, like, that's everything. Take the Kavanaugh situation. All you had to do was say, let's do in big, full transparency. Let's get the FBI, get me under oath, get my friend under oath.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. And boom, boom, bam. And
but
then
now,
you don't have, there's no legs to the story. You cut it right off if you do that. So I don't understand why more people don't do that.
The public example of me owning a misstep is much less dramatic than John Hamm's penis or Kavanaugh. But if you Google my name and Gizmodo and cat, you will see. You will see. You will see the story for yourself.
Wow.
Essentially, for a good 48 seconds, the centerpiece of the Chicago Tribune was a cat, and the text was like, text, 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 meow, 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 back when I worked there, because I was...
It was dummied up, like a...
I was testing something in the test environment,
right,
and somehow the test environment got turned alive.
Okay.
I think it was... I'm pretty sure it was the day that... I don't remember who died that day. There was a celebrity death, and I did later, like, tweet to... I think... Was it Dennis Farina, maybe? I think it was Dennis Farina had died that day, and I sent a tweet later like, I did not mean to marginalize the death of Dennis Farina, but I, so Gizmodo, like, screen grabbed the front of the Tribune and tweeted it and said, the Chicago Tribune makes the most adorable internet mistake of the day.
Yeah, I see that.
And
at least it was adorable.
It was adorable. It was like a really cute kitten. And actually, like, we were sitting there making a photo gallery because we at the time had a partnership with, like, all the animal shelters would send us photos every week. And we had this gallery of, like, here's the adoptable pets this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, he got adopted because
of that.
Like, all these people put in applications for that little cat. But essentially, Gizmodo, like, started... And then sent an email that said, will you answer some questions about how that happened? And I was like, sure. Yeah, I fucked it up.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
Sure
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Fucked it right up.
Yeah.
And he was like, did an intern do it? I was like, nope. Nope.
You're looking at him right here.
Nope. Regular ass employee right here. It's all good. Nope. It's all. And I just was like, I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
And
that's smart.
And then he kind of, like, it became kind of a funny interview.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was really like, nope. Yeah. Not even going to try to say we were hacked.
Sure.
Nope. That was all me.
Right, exactly. Because if that's, if you had been like, we don't know what are you talking
about? We were hacked.
I didn't see a cat. What are
There's
you talking
There's no
about?
Cat.
Fake news.
Like in Super Troopers. Yeah. I was like, license and registration. If I would have done that, the social media equivalent of that.
Yeah, might have been a little bit more of a.
No, but I was like, oh, no, I totally fucked it up, bro. I really did.
Yeah.
I just said that to him right off the bat. And he was like, all right, let's talk about it. And it was fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In fact, a couple of people like sent me notes and was like, now that is how you handle a fuck up. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, seriously. Because look, at the end of the day, I mean, no, you know, nobody died. Nobody, you know,
it's
like
a cat.
Right. So, you know, let's.
I mean, Dennis Farina died.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I did.
But unrelated, though.
Take him out of the centerpiece for a minute. But I didn't kill him. That's right. So, yeah. Speaking of news, I have a little tangent. I know that's really surprising to you. So the story about former senior Trump aide Jason Miller, who stands accused of delivering a smoothie to a woman containing an abortion pill, which is the most horrifying. That's so horrifying to me. I went on a little rant on Twitter about it because so many people were coming out like in support of this woman because it, by her account, it was a pregnancy that she intended to keep. So people were coming out in support of her, saying like, "This guy, you know, this is terrible. If true, you know, what a monster." But they kept calling her a stripper.
Yeah, I saw that,
and I was like, "It is totally irrelevant." And we talked about this a little bit, like
with Stormy.
With Stormy, mm-hmm. like it does not matter that she did adult films. It does not. I'm not going to say porn star because we have agreed not everyone in that industry is a star.
Right.
And that's just the thing people say. The fact that this woman, I don't even know, is or was or I don't know, whatever, at one point, like worked at a strip club, does not make her less human or any less deserving of motherhood or.
Sure.
Or her rights or safety. I mean, the woman almost died because she was quite ill because it's an abortion pill.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel terrible for that woman. That's scary. That would be terrible and heartbreaking and very upsetting. You know, I don't know. The truth will come out, you know, as it through the course of due process. But it really drove me nuts that people kept saying, even people with good intentions, like without even thinking anything bad about a stripper in particular, was just like, wow, he, you know, he had an affair with this stripper and then gave her an abortion pill. What an asshole. I was like, but why is it relevant? She's
right.
a woman.
Yeah.
She's a human being. That drove me so crazy. So I started, you know, tweeting about it, and I was talking about the like the test for to see if there's a gender bias in your writing or a bias of any kind. Like I said, if it would be irrelevant at the top of the story in the headline to mention like retail worker, then it's probably as irrelevant
sure.
to say stripper.
Yeah.
Similarly, if it sounds stupid to say male CEO, it probably sounds stupid to say female CEO. Like don't be a dipshit and plant that in there. And it, I was delighted to hear from people on that, but also a little surprised by how many people were like, but don't you think it's relevant because that shows the lack of judgment from him? And I'm like, no.
No. What does that have to do with it?
Whether or not he gave a person an abortion pill and caused an abortion against that woman's will is the issue. It has nothing to do. And then, like a side, it sparked a side debate about whether or not anyone connected to any aspect of the sex work industry has the and it also sparked, I would say, anybody who lives with poverty or is connected to sex work has the right to be a parent, which I thought was a real fucked up conversation.
About the right to be? How could they say they
like,
don't have a right?
It was really like, well, why would you want a stripper to be a mom? And I was like,
oh, God, come on.
I was like, well, there's plenty of wealthy, affluent women who are real fucked up moms. You want to talk about that? Like, it's
not to, plus, there's plenty of women who, there's a woman on Twitter who I follow who was a dancer for a long time.
There's
and
nothing
she tweeted
wrong with
about
stripping.
It and she's a I mean she's you know co- I mean she's this is what she did she
That's
made a
right.
ton of money doing it and she's
absolutely
an upstanding intelligent good writer like
absolutely.
I mean you know the whole nine yards
like so. You know Kathleen Hanna of Riot Girl fame she speaking of people who like own stories that people try to throw against them she straight up was like yeah I stripped I was broke I was starving
yeah
fuck yeah I did next
right
because people are like oh but she was a stripper before she was a rock star so so that does that to me does not negate anybody's rights or character or
no not at all
we all do what we have to in this life
right
and we're all doing our best and frankly some people want to do that work and that's their right also
yeah.
It's not always an act of desperation it can just be like I want to do sex work great
right.
get
yeah.
after it
yeah right Lynn, just the thing I was just looking up is I can't find the exact quote but Lindsey Graham just today went after Michael Avenatti and criticized him for defending porn stars, basically, or porn actresses. I don't forget what that, right. I was trying to find the exact language he used. It was totally offensive.
Lindsey Graham? Really? Yeah, saying something offensive? Weird.
Right. How weird, huh? Yeah, like lawyer to porn stars, he referred to him as in a tweet. But he said something even worse. It was like defending, you know, something about defending porn, whatever. But, you know, it's it's taking that. And that's and they keep referring to Avenatti as creepy porn lawyer, porn star lawyer, or something like that. And I'm like, who the fuck? Like, that has no... first off, plenty of things to criticize Michael Avenatti about in terms of showboating and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, I don't... What does the porn part have to do with anything?
Nothing, right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. It just sounds salacious to you, so you think that that's, like, a criticism. It's like when people use the word, like, progressive as a negative, like, stupid progressive, stupid liberal. So it's like, well, what? Yeah, I mean, I'm a liberal. So what does that have to do with my stupidity? Is an entirely different matter.
You know, there is a point in the show where sometimes we close by going, hey, what do you think is going to happen in the week ahead? This is me shrugging. I just turn into that shrugging emoji. I don't know. I got no idea. I predict a fourth accusation against Kavanaugh for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if now that they're, I mean...
A 12th.
Yeah, I think, plus there's also, there's going to be tangential, because this was obviously a crowd.
Sure.
I mean, you cannot, I don't know what happened, and I'm not going to, until there is, you know, definitive proof of some sort or another, or at least, you know, proof beyond my doubt, I'm not going to say that he did this and that, or that she's making anything up, or whatever. I don't know. Nobody knows, and people should shut up if they don't know. But, I think what has been fully established at this point is that he was part of a very, you know, raucous high school group of very entitled rich kids.
That's right.
You know,
that's
who drank a lot and did all kinds of stuff. That doesn't mean that, like, I drank a lot in college. I was around a bunch of other kids. We weren't rich, but, you know, a bunch of other dumb guys, and we drank, and, you know, that, I get that part, but, you know, the story is it's widening, you know, and if it widens, that brings more people into it. And if, you know, he keeps up this idea of, like, he was just a nice little church boy throughout.
Oh yeah,
all this.
At one point he was like, "I was a virgin until, like, get the
virgin
fuck
thing
out.
Was now that that fuck, actually pissed weird. That pissed me off the most because that I wanted to make an argument. I don't think I really got there. So I didn't really have time to tweet it all out, and I was really pissed about it. But bringing that up as some kind of a suggestion that you couldn't possibly be guilty of sexually assaulting or even just being kind of inappropriate or to a woman or to anyone for that matter, shows such a complete lack of understanding what sexual assault and dominance and that sort of thing is about.
Totally.
I mean, it had nothing to do with sex. And what I wanted to say was, like, have you ever been on the internet? Because there's a lot of virgins out there who are being complete fucking monsters.
That's
okay.
Right. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's just ridiculous. I mean, that's what the whole, like, incel move. I mean,
that's,
you know,
the whole point of it.
They don't. Yeah, they are mad because they haven't had sex, and so, you know, it's all rooted in something entirely different. And for a judge to not, even if he, like, didn't mean it, that, you know, to not be smart enough to choose your words more carefully and stuff in a situation like that and on a topic that serious.
Well, it felt like a desperate thing to say. I mean, it felt like really grasping at straws to just be like, oh, yeah, well, I was even a virgin then. Like, get out of here.
I didn't even have a penis at that time.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it was very weird. And,
Also, I thought it was just kind of interesting to see men talk about virginity because usually anytime... I mean, first of all, virginity is a fucking social construct. Who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
And there are many levels of virginity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's in fact a documentary made by Therese Schechter on this very topic that's really kind of making the case for, like, if we're going to make this big a deal out of virginity, we're really doing so in a place of heteronormativity and missionary sex.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she makes the case in the documentary that virginity has layers and that there's, like, the first time for this sex act and this and this and this different thing.
Yeah.
But all of it is a social construct and none of it. And it's funny how we kind of play with that at different times. And normally it's being discussed as, like, this virtue for women that somehow it's like this gift. I mean, every woman I know, and I myself included, we all heard this bullshit when we were teenagers about, like, it's a gift you'll give your husband. Like, get the fuck out of here with that. Like, that's ridiculous. And in this film, the filmmaker is in the film as well, and she's getting married through it. She, like, ends up involved with someone kind of on the crew, and she puts that in the film. And so she's at one point at a bridal shop buying, like, trying on a wedding dress, and she's looking through all these dresses, and she tries one on, and the saleswoman says, "You look so virginal and innocent." And she was like, "I'm 42 years old. Isn't my sexual history an asset that I'm bringing to this marriage, not a liability? Why this farce of this?" So she cut to kind of home video or like cell phone video of their wedding, and they're like dancing around, and she's in like a black and green sort of, you know, dress, not in white at all. But I thought it was just interesting to see a guy talking about virginity, especially his own, because there's so much complicated shit tied up in, you know, virility and masculinity and conquering and, you know, how early you can become a man and that kind of conversation. Yeah, that's just so different from women. So I don't even think I've ever heard in adulthood a guy talking about a point at which he was a virgin.
Yeah, it was just weird. It was weird. It seemed weird. It, like,
I mean, it was totally tone deaf, but just like to zero in on one little part of it, it was like, why are you even talking about that, you fucking dipshit?
It'll be interesting to see how he holds up in that hearing when the Democrats are able to go at him, because I think they're going to go hard, and he didn't come off well in the Fox News interview. And
I will say, oddly
enough, that Fox, the Fox anchor or host who was doing that, who's generally like a total state television kind of mouthpiece, she asked some decent questions and some decent follow-ups, and he looked uncomfortable. And I was kind of like, well, if you're going to be uncomfortable there, man, wait until like Kamala Harris is coming at you with, you know, hard facts. And
if Fox News is the problem for you, just wait for this hearing. Totally. He doesn't seem like a guy that holds up really well under stress. He seems like, I mean, just my read, if I just like met him randomly in the world and I was like, my take on that dude would be, he just seems like a, you know, kind of a bratty, wealthy, privileged guy that just never had to suck it up. And you know what I mean? Like, never had to really struggle for anything in his life, and just seems kind of entitled and kind of wimpy and kind of piece of shit.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And if he looks bad in that hearing, watch how quickly Trump throws him under the bus too.
Right. Because there's one thing Trump hates, and that's like even like a whiff of anything that might make him and his circle might emasculate them and him.
Yeah, and he apparently wasn't happy with that Fox News interview of Kavanaugh's, and so, which was, again, because he put so much value on optics and
optics
stuff like
and
that.
Super masculinity, which is so crazy because he's disgusting and not at all like...
Well, apparently he's got Yeti pubes, I hear.
Oh, God, that's so horrifying. I mean, Stormy Daniels makes me laugh because right. She's like, I don't care. He has a tiny, weird little penis and Yeti pubes, which I don't even know what that means, but it seems gross.
Yeah, I don't either, but it was a great descriptor one way or the other.
What does that mean? What could a Yeti pube possibly be?
Yeah, I think it would just look like the rest of the Yeti, because they're pretty furry.
It's just like a big,
big ball of pubes.
White, long hair, white thing? Is this, like, his junk is like a Great Pyrenees? Like, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't know.
That is an offense to Great Pyrenees everywhere.
I know. I love Great Pyrenees, so I apologize to the entire species of Great Pyrenees dogs.
You should.
For comparing the... I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, jeebus.
It'd be funny if that was what derailed our careers, was a Great Pyrenees referenced in comparison to the
Great Pyrenees lobby is going to come after us on that one. Lord. I feel like we've just scratched the surface.
Yeah, we didn't even mention Rosenstein. Rod.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's do it. Let's go over. Let's give the people some bonus content.
Okay. So that's the other thing happening tomorrow, Thursday, is he's apparently meeting with Trump.
It's going to be good.
Nobody knows what's going to happen.
It's going to be good.
That whole thing with him supposedly resigning and then supposedly being fired on Monday was complete BS, which was apparently fed out of the White House somehow to just as a basically as a distraction. And honestly, that was not journalism's finest moment, I didn't think. I didn't like the way that was handled one bit. I mean, Axios was the first to break it, and then who was next? The New York Times did something with it. New York Times also not exactly doing the greatest of jobs the past couple big shots here, I don't think. But with the story about Rosenstein making comments about the 25th Amendment and wearing a wire, which further reporting seemed to suggest it was more likely that he was being sarcastic when he said those things, but the Times kind of played it hard news.
Played it like, oh, this is a thing.
I mean, they're great, you know. But see, the problem with it, I don't want to get into a big media thing here, but the...
We always do. Yeah, it's not really a show episode unless we do.
But the Times... Again, I have tremendous respect for the reporters specifically involved in that story, but just sort of in general. And you cannot knock the amazing work that the Times has been doing since Trump got into office. But I do think that I did feel like that story was played. They overplayed their hand there and didn't give it the proper context. I also felt like they were very snotty in the aftermath in terms of how they responded to the reaction. Now, people came after him hard.
Yeah, they did.
And I think too hard, you know, but I don't know. It was just the whole thing was kind of a mess. But the Times has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder sometimes, which I really don't like, which is personally, I feel like the Washington Post has done better work than anyone throughout the administration.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, they are, you know, they've been tough as hell. They've great scoops, you know. But also, I have not seen them...
Not published anonymous op-eds.
Right. I haven't... Yes, exactly. I haven't seen them kind of overstep much.
That's
you
right.
Know. So, I don't know.
I would agree with that.
But that was a mess. But anyway, so tomorrow, who knows?
I mean, to say, we should almost, like, record again tomorrow because this would be a
Yeah, there's going to be a, yeah, there's gonna be a lot going on. Who knows? Use your imagination, folks. But yeah, Rosenstein, my guess is he stays, and this was all just a bunch of BS. Stays until after the midterms because they don't want to upset the apple cart any more than it already is. And then he'll probably get canned after the midterms. But, you know, people freaked out Monday about that. And I sent a tweet that I was somewhat criticized for by a lot of people on the left. I sent out a tweet saying, okay, everybody, take a breath here. When we thought he was fired or resigning. Mm-hmm. Because I said, if you don't think that Mueller and Rosenstein have already prepared for this eventuality, you're not giving their intelligence very much credit. And I really believe that. I mean, I think that there are things put in place to deal with this if things start to go sideways too much. Because they've been approximately 30 steps ahead of Trump the whole way through.
Totally.
So, you know, I think, you know, I don't want to, you know, I think it's bad if he is, certainly if he's fired. And I hope he doesn't step down right now because I just think it's going to muck things up a lot. But I also think that the die is cast a little bit here. And I think whatever's going to happen, I think there's
a
way for it to happen.
I agree with that. So, yeah. So, till tomorrow.
Dun, dun, dun. Tune in 5 minutes from now for an entirely different...
totally different things that matter. Right. That's a thing that keeps happening. Well, until next time, which may be earlier than Wednesday. Who knows? No, it'll probably just be next Wednesday. Until next time, this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics, and try not to be a douche on Twitter. Peace out.